Blog Talk Radio.
The views and opinions of this show do not reflect the views and opinions of WikiCuriosity Media or its affiliates. WikiCuriosity Media, changing the world you listen to. Any music featured on WikiCuriosity Media programs is used with the express written consent of the artist, owner, or distributor. Coming to you live from the WikiCuriosity Studios in Knoxville, Tennessee, it's Behind the Screen Radio Show.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another exciting episode of The Cinephiles. I'm your host, Dan.
And I am Alex.
Yeah, and I am all fucked up right now. Let me try that again. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another exciting episode of The Cinephiles. I am Dan.
And I am Alex.
And you can join us. 718-664-9735, 718-664-9735. Hit us up on Facebook. We are not on Facebook Live tonight. However, you can still find us on Facebook at Behind the Screen Radio Show, also at WikiCuriosity Media. You can hit us up on our webpage, www.wikicuriosity.wixsite.com/WC Media. Hit us up on YouTube at WikiCuriosity Media. Hit us up on iTunes at WC or WikiCuriosity Media. You can email us at wiki_media@outlook.com. Also, head on over to blogtalkradio.com/WikiCuriosityMedia for all of our archived shows. I apologize for the little mix-up at the beginning. I was rushing to get into the studio and get everything set up and had a minor technical difficulty coming in. So, but we are here and ready to go. Did not show last week.
Or the week before.
That's right. It has been 2 weeks, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Well, the week before was Thanksgiving,
yeah,
I believe.
Yeah, we had Thanksgiving,
yeah.
And then scheduling last week. But we're back.
Yeah, we are back, and ready to roll tonight. We've got some pretty interesting topics tonight that I'm actually kind of interested in your opinion on and, you know, excited to talk about.
Yeah.
But
before we get started, though, I just read recent news, I think today. You know Nick Cannon?
Yes.
His youngest son passed away. I believe it was due to a brain tumor.
Yeah.
Just want to send condolences. It's very sad losing a child.
It is, especially that age. His child was only 5 months old.
Yeah. So, condolences go out to Nick and his family.
Absolutely. You know, it doesn't matter, you know, what you do in life. It doesn't matter who you are, whether you're famous or whether you're not. Losing a child is heartbreaking, you know, especially one that's hasn't even barely touched the precepts of their life. You know, I mean, you haven't even gotten to know your child, and they're taken from you, and that's heart-wrenching, and you know, our hearts don't go out.
our topics for tonight?
Before we get into that.
Okay.
Have you seen the latest news on, and I've seen articles, I haven't actually had the chance to read them yet, or even look them up on YouTube or anything. There is a new animated Spider-Man movie coming out.
Yes. And so Spider-Verse 2?
Yeah, it's... I don't think it's called that.
No, it's not. It's not called Into the Spider-Verse 2, but it's the sequel to Into the Spider-Verse.
Yeah.
Yeah. They had a minute and a half trailer.
Across the Spider-Verse, Part 1.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know. Why not? I mean, I thought. I was a part of the group of people that thought Into the Spider-Verse was the best Spider-Man movie of all time. I thought it was okay. I mean, it wasn't a bad movie. Don't get me wrong. I thought it was good. It's definitely, it was a good introduction to certain characters. I just feel like they should have had... Into the Spider-Verse should have been a sequel movie. And then they should have had a movie beforehand introducing Miles and the Peter Parker of that world. But, yeah, I mean, I'm excited. It's going to be a big couple of years for Spider-Man fans.
Oh, yeah.
There's a lot coming out for those. But, yeah, I'm excited for it. Should be fun. Fun movie.
So, I actually really enjoyed Into the Spider-Verse. It was definitely, for lack of better terms, a breath of fresh air into the Marvel Universe.
Yeah, this was one of those instances where being different was good.
Yes. Yeah. The animation on it was outstanding. The way that they brought in Miles Morales, who is not your typical Spider-Man at all, was fantastic. I like Miles Morales as much as I know him. I know very little of him in the comics. I've seen him in a couple of, some of the other Spider-Man cartoons and some of the other Marvel cartoons, but this really showcased who he is. And I really do like Miles Morales. I like the fact that it's, number one, not Peter Parker. Even though I like Peter Parker, I'm not going to say it's bad, but I do like Peter Parker.
Of Peter Parker, Tom Holland got renewed for a new Spider-Man trilogy. So that should be fun.
Yeah.
That takes place in the MCU. It's not a separate Sony project like a lot of us feared. So they got three more MCU Spider-Mans with Tom Holland coming.
Really?
Yeah.
Awesome. Because I thought it was going to be like the crossover. I thought they were going to go more into the Spider-Universe.
I think Sony finally put their big boy pants on and finally was like, okay, we'll submit to Disney's rule.
Well, the thing is Disney and Marvel are bringing a lot of attention to Spider-Man, something that Sony, unfortunately, really hasn't been able to do in the past couple years, in the past, decade or so. Don't get me wrong, the Tobey Maguire movies were good. They weren't the best, but they were good. Andrew Garfield.
They were good for their time.
Tobey Maguire sucked balls as Spider-Man.
Those were harsh words.
I don't think I agree with that, but fair enough.
Okay, we're going to have to table that discussion for a minute until she gets back in. But Tobey Maguire, and then we had Andrew Garfield, where the premise and the storylines were good.
He wasn't a good Peter Parker. His Peter Parker was unbearably unwatchable. But his Spider-Man was pretty cool.
His Spider-Man was pretty cool. Like you said, it's almost like Val Kilmer as Batman. Val Kilmer was better as Batman than Bruce Wayne.
What did you just say?
You missed the whole part of the conversation. If you're going to be in the conversation, get in a chair, put on some headphones.
All I heard was Val Kilmer and
was better as Batman than he was as Bruce Wayne.
Val Kilmer sucked either way.
Okay, you're right. You're right. Okay, she hasn't put her headphones on yet.
Hold on.
She hasn't put her headphones on yet. So, okay, you got your headphones on?
Yeah.
Okay. Can you hear us?
Hello?
Yes.
Okay, good. Now, say what you said as you walked out the room.
Look, we've had this Spider-Man, Batman discussion so many times. It is not a unknown fact that I think Tobey Maguire was absolutely rancid as Batman.
Tobey Maguire never played Batman. Tobey Maguire was the worst Batman ever.
Mom brain fog is a risk.
Ever.
Thank you, COVID. Anyway, as Spider-Man.
That
horrible.
Was so harsh. Alex had to turn his camera off. And I agree. Tobey Maguire was the worst Batman ever. Just like Val Kilmer is the worst Spider-Man out there.
No, listen. Tobey Maguire was absolutely the worst Spider-Man.
No. Tobey Maguire was bad as Peter Parker in the third.
All of it was bad. The whole, it was bad. It was all bad.
Are you thinking of Andrew Garfield?
It's Blanky not pronounced Garfield. Tobey Maguire. It's pronounced Andrew Garfield.
Are you thinking of the scrawny, real skinny, lanky Spider-Man?
No.
No, the early 2000s Spider-Man?
No. Tobey Maguire was awful. He was awful. If Austin was in here, he would agree with me.
Mm-mm. No, he was actually said.
Hold on.
Put it on mute. There you go. No, he has always said that Tobey Maguire is better than Andrew Garfield.
I like Andrew Garfield a lot better.
Andrew Garfield was horrible as Peter Parker.
I love Andrew Garfield better. But yeah, I can sort of see where people come from when they don't like Toby. A lot of people liked Toby's Peter Parker. I did not. I didn't like how he carried himself. I didn't like how he played the role good. That's who Peter Parker's supposed to be.
Oh, why?
He just kind of seemed like
he was.
To me, now this may seem a bit harsh, but it almost feels like they used a separate actor for the Spider-Man and Peter Parker. Because his physique as Peter Parker was vastly different than his physique as Spider-Man.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Tobey Maguire as Peter Parker was, he was so fucking whiny. He was whiny and needy and annoying.
Okay, but if we go back to the original Spider-Man comics, if we look at the Spider-Man, how he was created in the beginning, the Tobey Maguire Spider-Man, Peter Parker, is more true to that type of Peter Parker. Because Peter Parker was the kid in high school.
It's different eras, though, because you can't – that's the thing I don't quite like about the early – eras of Batman and Spider-Man is they're completely different than how they are now. People watch a Spider-Man movie like the one with Tobey Maguire and they'll say, well, it was just spot on, perfect, accurate to the comics. You can't have that. There's no such thing as being comic accurate if the comics were written, if they're basing their comics in the 50s. A 50s Peter Parker is going to be vastly different than an early 2000s, 2010, 2020 Peter Parker. Because we have different morals, different viewpoints, different values than what they do.
Different world.
Yeah, it's a completely different world. And they based his Peter Parker off of 1950s Peter Parker, whenever he was created. they based him off of his early stages of Peter Parker instead of a more refined Peter Parker. Does that make sense?
Well,
I think that's where Garfield and Tom Holland thrive.
Well, not only that, but when you look at Tobey Maguire's Peter Parker and whatever it is they based him on, there are so many people who, myself included, that do not know the comics. So we are getting a Tobey Maguire on screen that we're not basing this off comics. We're basing it off the fact that that is not a man. He's annoying. He's whiny. Even his freaking Spider-Man was annoying. Like, we're not basing it off of, okay, well, I can see where they're coming from because they based it off of the original comics, because we don't know the comics. We see what's on screen, and that is all we know, and it was not enjoyable. Now, when I look at Andrew Garfield, I would put him second because obviously I think
Paul Holland.
Tom Holland is by far, hands down, is the best Spider-Man we've had.
Yeah, the issue I have with Tom Holland, though, is he doesn't have his own thing
standalone
yet.
Movie. Yeah.
Yeah. He always has to piggyback, or somebody's piggybacking off of him. I think once he gets his own set thing is when he's going to just absolutely thrive. Like, he's going to just blow people away.
Yeah.
But
absolutely.
For now,
not
so much.
We look at Tom Holland, who is young, who is amazing, and fell into this role with ease.
Yeah.
And is now, you know, this kid that started from wherever. Now he's making shit tons of money because everybody wants his Spider-Man. Then we look at, you know, he's like the Terry Edgerton of Spider-Man.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like, if he keeps going.
Which he is, because he just got contract for 3 more movies.
Right, so if he keeps going and builds his Spider-Man, to be honest, these discussions won't matter because his Spider-Man will be the only one we remember.
Yeah, the only problem, though, is Tom Holland has expressed not only unhappiness, but he has stated if he's still playing Spider-Man when he's 30, something has gone completely wrong.
I agree. I don't want him to be typecasted. I'd love to see him in other movies.
I don't want him to be unhappy playing the role. It seems different and weird on this press tour. He really just seems kind of uninterested in stuff. But he is maturing as a person. He is, like, what, 24, 25?
I
want to
be fair here. When we look at actors right now, in any movie doing press tours, okay, there are major things happening behind the scenes.
Yeah.
These actors honestly are living an unknown life right now. Disney, their major players have stepped down. Why? We all know why. I won't go into it because it's not my show. But their major players have stepped down.
Yeah.
You have a lot of actors right now that don't know what's going to happen to Hollywood.
Yeah.
And I think the stress of that, and they probably know more than we do. I'm sure they hear it through their agents or other actors, things like that. These are him and Zendaya. These are young actors and actresses.
Yeah.
They have no idea what the future is going to bring at this point. Everything is unknown. I'm sure most Hollywood actors and actresses are unhappy right now. There's so much drama happening behind the scenes. One with COVID, two with
Epstein.
With Epstein, absolutely. People from major companies that support Hollywood are stepping down. They just don't know what's happening.
Right.
You know, and who do you trust? You're young. You're a young actor or actress. Do you want to get wrapped up in some bullshit?
Yeah.
I just think there's a lot of stress happening for all of them, and we will see that same, not disinterest, but not knowing how to answer questions.
Yeah.
I think we're going to see that from all of them for a while. That's what I think.
Yep.
Yeah.
Cool. So, with drama in Hollywood, do we want to start with the Alec Baldwin topic?
Yes, absolutely.
I made it. so many opinions about this.
Okay, so... Okay, I'm going to give a quick rundown.
Yeah, absolutely.
In October, on October 21st, Alec Baldwin was rehearsing a scene that involved a cross-drawing a revolver, which means grabbing it from one side, bringing it across your body, and pointing it toward the camera lens.
I told you.
Yeah. And basically not firing the gun, but, you know, pulling the hammer back. Cocking it, letting it, you know, getting it ready.
Yep.
Quote, unquote, somehow the gun went off. Hold on.
Yeah, that's what he says.
Hold on. Because I watched the interview.
I did too.
Hold on. Somehow the gun went off. It hit Helena Hutchins in the chest and...
Same bullet.
Yep. Joel Souza in the shoulder.
Yep.
It was a 44 caliber bullet.
Went right through
her. Hold on. Yeah. It's a 44 caliber bullet that they actually pulled out of the arm.
Joel. Yeah.
Yeah. Ms. Hutchins was airlifted to a hospital in Albuquerque, where she passed away.
Obviously.
Mr. Souza was taken by ambulance to a hospital in Santa Fe and released the next day.
Before you move on,
yep.
Please make it aware of who Helena was.
Okay. Helena Hutchins was the assistant director. She was the cinematographer.
She was the head lead cinematographer of that film. And the guy that got shot in the arm was
the assistant director.
Yeah.
Assistant director.
Okay. I got him mixed up.
Yeah.
Okay. So she was the principal cinematographer. She was the one that was sitting behind the screen
She was the one running the camera.
She was.
Yeah.
And he was directing the gun. He was directing what to do.
Yeah. Yeah.
But there's more to her. Who was she?
What do you mean?
So one of the biggest issues with this case is who Helena was. And that is what caused a lot of conspiracy. I'm trying to pull my computer up. Sorry.
It's okay.
Caused a lot of the conspiracy theorists to implode when this happened and accuse Alec Baldwin of being a part of a mastermind plan to kill her. I did watch, you said Helena?
Helena.
H-E-L-A-N-A?
H-A-L-Y-N-A.
Oh, Jesus.
Okay,
so Helena Hutchins tweeted she had information that would lead to Hillary Clinton's arrest, which is why things blew up in the media.
Okay.
Because her husband was part of the lawyer team that was going after the Clintons.
Okay.
So whether she tweeted that or not, because now there's discrepancies saying it wasn't really from her, and I mean, whatever. We've all seen people killer-read many times, so we don't actually know 100% that's not true. But that is why so many people in social media blew up, because her husband is directly involved in the cases against the Clintons.
Okay.
Right. And so that's why a lot of blame was put on Alec Baldwin, because he's an asshole.
Yeah.
And he was an easy target.
Right.
I did watch the interview. Personally, I feel like I'm a fairly consistent character. I don't like Alec Baldwin as a person. I think he's a dick. As an actor, I think he's pretty good.
Yeah.
But what I saw on screen there was somebody who was horribly traumatized by the fact that he just killed somebody.
I have different opinions.
Go ahead. I still think it doesn't matter. Here's the thing. It doesn't matter. Whether he hated her or not, or was in with the Clintons, or, you know, however you want to spin it, the end result is that he is not responsible for what comes out of the gun.
Right. Okay. So I also watched the interview. There was a part of it that I didn't get to see because I was watching it at lunch today, but it was a minor part. But what I did see on screen was a good actor. The points where he cried to me seemed fake. I'm sorry. When he was talking about Helena Hutchins and he just broke down in tears, almost was very reminiscent of Brad Pitt's acting in Seven. When he was trying to decide if he was going to kill Kevin Spacey or not. There was a lot of that. Because I watched a thing on his body language. His body language will tell you everything. No matter how good of an actor you are, body language will tell you everything. One of the biggest points is that when you're telling the truth, you look somebody in the eye. When you're lying, you don't.
True.
And there were points in... What's that?
I'm not trying to overshadow Alex in speaking, so...
You can go ahead and finish what you're saying.
There were points, key points, in the interview where he would look away. One of the big ones was when they were talking about the safety concerns on the set. Do I fully believe that the, I don't remember what his position was, but it was one of the union guys, had actually sent an email to Mr. Baldwin stating the safety concerns on the set and that, you know, safety protocols aren't being followed.
It's not his responsibility, though.
Safety is everybody's responsibility.
Right, but you don't email the lead actor about the fact that there's safety issues. If you're a union worker, email your union.
Okay, Alec Baldwin's also a producer.
Okay.
Well, time out. He's a producer. It's just that producer title is simply just a title. He is only the producer, so he can kind of direct who he works with on screen. His job is not to worry about harnesses, safety. Yes, he should be safe when wielding guns. That's common, just safety practice. His job is not a safety officer. He is the head. He is the lead actor. He is the producer, which
he's
I use that
a
term
producer.
Loosely.
A producer. Yeah.
He's just not. It's not his job. His job is to show up, have a gun put in his hand for that scene, do the scene, and then move on. His job isn't to say, oh, hey, guys, that doesn't look up the code. He doesn't know what those codes are. Because there's people that they hire for that, and those people didn't do their jobs. That guy should have never went to Alec Baldwin. That was not his problem. He should have went to the people whose job it was.
Okay. I don't think he emailed just Alec Baldwin.
Right.
The email went out to different people. However,
all Alec Baldwin's fault.
No, I'm not. I'm not putting the blame on Alec Baldwin on that. The issue that I have is that if I'm somewhere, and I'm doing something. Like if I'm in a store or if I'm in a motor pool or something like that, and somebody comes up to me voicing safety concerns, whether I'm the safety officer or not, I'm going to bring those concerns to the safety person.
Absolutely. However, when we look at A-list actors, they do not give a shit. They don't want to talk to you.
Okay, then it is partly.
Partly, probably. But here's the reality of the situation. He doesn't give a shit. Go tell the person that's in charge of it. You've got these people over here. All of those people are in charge of props and prop guns. Get the fuck out of my face. go deal with them.
Yeah,
on
the
top
problem
of that,
is that there, it's not that there wasn't a safety officer in sight, like you said. There was everyone on set that that guy could have went to about these concerns, but he specifically chose
even
Alex.
Helena.
Yeah,
even
he could
Helena.
Have gone to anybody on the set because they have to be there for the scene because if something malfunctions, like what happened,
yes, right,
and they have to
right.
be able to fix it and go back. That guy, he could just be chasing attention, fame, whatever. I went
on,
to Alec Baldwin, and he did nothing. It's not Alec Baldwin's job.
I think that's an easy out because on top of that, the man who purchased the prop pieces, the bullets themselves,
yeah.
is known for buying live rounds because they're cheaper.
Right, okay.
Recycled
yeah.
live rounds
yeah.
because they are cheaper.
Okay, I'm going to make a point on that here in a second. The issue that I have is the laissez-faire attitude of safety.
Absolutely.
I get the point where you say that, you know, Alec Baldwin is an A-list actor.
I'm just saying reality. It's not a point.
Right, right. The reality of it. But that's not actually true because Alec Baldwin specifically told George Stephanopoulos, the person that was interviewing him, that he was basically involved with everybody on the set.
I'm sure he was. Yeah.
Right.
That's his producer title.
But
he
when
has
it comes
to know what's going
and,
on.
When it comes to issues and problems, it's also his job to say, okay, cool, go talk to that person. I don't run that. Go talk to that person. I'm here to act.
It's
like you're working in an office and you have a problem and you go to the receptionist instead of HR. The guy went straight to HR. He really skipped HR. He went to the nearest person that he thought could speak louder than he could. And that person is Alec Baldwin. And he's like, I can't help you. There's people over there.
Go
do
yeah,
it.
Go
right.
figure
but,
it out.
But so here's the issue that I'm having. When one person has an issue, regardless of who they bring it up to, if it's a major life-threatening issue, which
what was
what,
the what?
Yeah,
what
was the
issue? Issues, though? Because what the guy was complaining, at least what we saw in that interview, the guy was complaining about multiple things, and safety
yeah.
was just a minimal thing. The hotels were bad. They didn't want to commute back and forth so much. He was basically crying wolf. Like, he was complaining,
well, he was complaining about everything,
things.
And then you've got safety in there somewhere.
Right. But the main thing that he pointed out, the very first thing that he pointed out was safety. And they didn't go into specifics in the interview about what the safety concerns were, but he did in the email.
Right.
The thing is when somebody goes to somebody else that, you know, says something about safety, and it can be potentially life-threatening, and you know about it, and you do nothing, you are just as culpable
okay.
as the safety people. Already knew about that.
I do want to also point out, though, that Alec Baldwin himself has people. How do we know he didn't say, okay, you're right, go tell this person?
Because he specifically said, Alec Baldwin said, oh, I didn't get emails about the safety. There were no safety issues. And that right there, that's where we see him chucking his eyes.
In the interview, being
uncomfortable.
In the interview, I forgot the interview guy's name, but he asked Alec Baldwin, were these safety concerns brought to you? He said, no, on set, I was talked. He came up to me and talked about the living situation and hotel stuff a day before they were about to wrap shooting. The guy came
right.
to Alec Baldwin and was complaining about sleeping situations and stuff that should have been brought up way beforehand.
You're right.
And then,
you're right.
And then after they got done shooting, then he started voicing his opinion about the safety after shooting was wrapped.
And that's the problem because
they were on their last day when the incident had happened.
That's a problem because I'm sure if this person's a union person, if he or anybody else felt there was an issue, they had to have gone to their reps. it's their rep's job to come back and say, this is who I'm speaking to, this is what I'm taking care of. When we look at the gun itself, though, the person in charge of those things was already being investigated. He already had issues. A lot of this falls on the main person up here who started hiring and firing. He knew that this person already had issues on set. He was known for buying cheap, for live ammunition on sets that were not supposed to have live ammunition. And then when we look at the culpability of Alec Baldwin, because, of, yes, I've heard the argument on several platforms about how if somebody puts a gun in your hand, it's still your job to check it. It's not. He literally isn't supposed to touch the gun. The gun goes in his hand. He does the scene. The gun leaves his hand. The person before him who puts the gun in his hand is supposed to check everything. The way the gun works, the way the ammunition works, is it live or blank? All of those things. Regardless of how much anybody likes or dislikes Alec Baldwin or thinks that he's part of a bigger plan, that responsibility was not his.
So it was actually Sarah Zachary that was the prop master.
No, so there was the lead armorer who was, I think, is her. She was the lead armorer and assistant prop master. And then there was the prop master. I forgot his name, but that's the guy who was
the
in charge of
the dude
making props. As stated by Alec Baldwin, he only handed the gun to two people, and he wasn't supposed to hand it to anybody else. He's only supposed to hand it to one person, but when that person wasn't there, he had to pass it off to this person.
So
and it's not
Sarah
supposed to be
or the dude.
So Sarah, this was her second film being lead prop master.
They set
and
her up.
In her previous film, she was all over the place. She was she did a bad job, basically. Not a bad job, but you know, first go.
She's irresponsible.
You know, rookie mistakes and stuff. Her second movie, and I believe her father is a armorer for movies too. And now in her second movie, she's not only head armorer, but she's assistant prop master. And now somebody's dead.
Somebody died.
Yeah, so what I think happened and what I think is the most probable cause, Alec Baldwin didn't know what was going on. I don't think I'm not trying to insult him. I don't think Alec Baldwin's capable of putting all this together just to kill somebody he met 6 months ago.
Yeah.
He barely knew Helena. He knew Joel a little bit. Barely knew Helena. He went to dinner with her a few times, and they worked together. They were just colleagues.
Yeah. He said he was her set friend.
Yeah.
He
only knew her on set.
He was friends with Joel, but Joel had recommended. Yeah.
What happened with Alec Baldwin is he had a weapon placed in his hand. It's not his job to check it. He's an actor.
Yeah.
Don't see Broadway. You don't see Broadway actors. You don't see Leonardo DiCaprio unloading a gun and then loading it back saying, okay, we're clear, because they're obviously going to know the difference between a live round and a fake round. So that's not his job. He was handed the gun. He had to do one motion and boom and be done with it. He was on set. He was taught safety stuff, of course, by the armor master, you know, how to fake recoil, how to pull gun, how safety protocols.
Right.
This wasn't an after the scene was shot, this wasn't he was strutting around waving the gun, being all stupid, and boom, it goes off. He was told to point it to the ground. It is a weapon. It's dangerous. Freak accidents. Point it to the ground. He did what he was told what he was supposed to do.
Right.
Now, the issue comes in with the prop master and the armor master. Why were they given live rounds? Why were they using live rounds? Because they're cheaper. It's a low-budget film.
So there's actually
I think that's where the guilt lies in.
So there's actually another
murder case.
Part of the story to a point, and we'll get to that here in a second. There's actually another piece to the live ammunition puzzle. So there was another interview with one of the people on set. Saying that, so the gun was a replica of a, I don't remember who makes it, basically single action army pistol.
It's a 45, right?
Yeah. So it's a single action army pistol. I think it was Springfield. Who made it?
Smith. It was probably Smith and Wesson Springfield. Somebody made it.
Western
Revolver replica.
Yeah, yeah. But it was a piece for piece replica. So it's a live. It's a live weapon.
Yeah. Well, companies people like Smith and Wesson will reproduce their previous firearms. Like they'll reproduce like lever actions and stuff. Like use the same blueprints, but you know, just use modern technology and reproduce it as if it were like 1875 or whatever. So I think that's what this revolver was a reproduction from whatever gun company it was, and they saw it, and it was like, okay, it's cheap, it's a revolver, get it, let's go.
Right. Well, so they were using a man. And I wish I could. Hold on. Let me see if I can find this. Okay, Colt. It was a Colt 45 single action army pistol from the basically from the Civil War time, because the movie is set in the Midwest. Yeah. But it was a F. Illy Pieta, which is the replica of the Colt 45, and it's a piece for piece replica. So what they were doing on set was they would take these guns, these live guns, put live ammunition in them, go behind the set, because it's on a big ranch. There's you know, it's literally just a ranch where they shoot all of the old Western movies. So, and I know both of you know this because you've watched the interview. I'm telling, you know, our listeners and stuff like that. But they would go out and they would fire the guns just to, you know, basically, quote unquote, have fun. So that's where some of those live rounds may have come from. And yes, I know that they use live rounds on sets sometimes. But, you know, it's a possibility that, you know, they were using the gun to fire and forgot to completely unload it. It's totally possible that that is an accident. The issue that I am having is the gun itself firing. So when we look at the interview, when we look at what Alec Baldwin said, he said his finger was never on the trigger and that he had the gun pointed down and was bringing the hammer back. You know, because they were trying to get a shot, of him pulling the hammer back, like an action shot. And they wanted to get that shot, so he would, you know, pull it back a little bit, say, is this good, is this good, is this good? And he let his finger go, and the hammer flew forward. The problem I have is that in that type of revolver, and this was verified by multiple gunsmiths, by multiple gun experts, in multiple interviews, online, in videos and stuff like that, that can't happen unless your finger's on the trigger.
I mean,
or unless the hammer the hammer stop is so worn down. And if the hammer stop was so worn down, they would have noticed that in previous shots.
They might have noticed it in previous shots and didn't care because of the budget.
No, that's, because in previous shots, I guarantee you, they had the hammer back, and then he pulled the trigger.
In my very limited gun knowledge, you don't have to pull a hammer all the way back. It's basically spring-loaded. You don't have to pull the hammer all the way back. You can pull it back three-quarter, and it doesn't have to lock or nothing. It can just go, and it's just that enough to fire.
But not in that gun. No, because that was the point of the single-action revolver. Was you had to pull the hammer back in order to fire. And the only way that the only way that it could fire without you know, cocking the hammer back, the only way that it would spring forward is if the trigger was pressed.
Right, and here's the thing. I'm sure that Alec Baldwin's lawyer told him exactly what to say on that interview.
Absolutely.
Okay, and that's fine. Because at the end of the day, culpability falls on whoever loaded the gun. It should have never been loaded with a live round. There should have never been any chance that if he did pull the trigger, somebody was going to die.
I agree with that. I want to go on record by saying that I am not accusing Alec Baldwin of intentionally...
Absolutely. His culpability just isn't there.
It's not. But at the same time, he is lying about having his finger on the trigger. Why? I mean, and it may be just to save his ass, but
it may just be because that's what they told him to say in any media interview.
And you're right. That's probably what it is. The problem with saying that is that you have these people that are not gun experts. That will be like, oh, okay, yeah, you just pull it back and it just slants forward.
I don't think anybody's even listening to that part. I think they're just looking at, do we blame Alec or do we blame them?
No, so Ford Media is listening to that part. There was a gun expert on both Good Morning Britain and Good Morning Australia, same gun expert, that was talking about that in particular.
Right, but you're bringing up people that are not gun experts, and I'm saying those
people... He literally is a gun expert.
I know that. You just said right before that, people who are not gun experts.
Right.
What I'm saying is those people don't care. They're just looking for somebody to blame.
Right, and I get that. The problem that I have is that Alec Baldwin is lying.
He probably is lying because that's what he's being... Number one, he's probably being told that by his lawyers. Number two, you have to look at the production companies who are like, keep your fucking mouth shut.
Yeah, and I know that, and I get that.
So the Alec Baldwin lying doesn't really matter.
Or he's not telling the truth.
Well, it doesn't.
He's
I don't think it matters at all.
Yeah.
They were filming a shot of him cocking the hammer, right?
Right.
What cowboy do you know has cocked a hammer without their finger on the trigger? When they're doing a standoff, whatever. They were filming a shot of it. If Alec Baldwin had his finger off the trigger and pulling the hammer back, that would have looked silly. It would look silly in the film. So he probably did have his finger on the trigger. And they were filming the shot. And then it's a replica. It's a new, it's oil, whatever. They were shooting it. It's fairly easy to pull a trigger. It doesn't take much. It's just a little boop.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
He could have just, you know,
his finger could have flipped anything.
Was the shot good? Blah 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 blah, and then boom, accident. What it boils down to, in my opinion, this is not a murder. Somebody can get charged, but not for, there's no way it's murder.
I absolutely believe that the head armor, the prop master, will be charged with negligent homicide.
I agree with that.
I don't think Alec Baldwin can get charged for murder, homicide, manslaughter. He's good. I don't think that other people on set besides the prop master and armorer, they minimum that I think they could get charged with is negligent homicide.
I think
this was definitely
who purchased.
Yeah, I don't think this was definitely a murder, and this wasn't premeditative. This was seriously just an accident, and it was a negligent accident. It was preventable.
I believe the person who purchased the original ammunition for the movie, who chose to cut corners and knew he wasn't supposed to, and also knew he was not supposed to have live rounds on that set, will be the one charged.
Honestly, I think so for me, and again, I'm not saying that Alec Baldwin did this on purpose. I don't think he should be charged with anything.
I don't either.
It pisses me off that he's lying, and there are 100,000 people that know that he's lying.
He knows that. He knows
I don't think that he's lying. I just don't think he's telling the complete truth. Because at the time, I think what he's talking about is I didn't have my finger on the trigger walking around set holding the gun when, you know,
waving
he didn't have his finger on the trigger when he wasn't supposed to. Of course, it's so obvious his finger on the trigger
at
the time of the shooting. That's
right.
I don't think that's what he's denying. I just think there was some concerns that could have went into place, but
for me,
I don't think it's Alec Baldwin.
I don't think he'll get charged with anything.
No.
And I don't think he should be.
No. I think, in my opinion, I think Alec Baldwin has...
He's scared, I think.
He's
just bumbling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What if he is lying about the trigger? He's scared. He just killed somebody.
He's not in court right now. Like,
yeah.
He's not in front of a judge.
It's even if it's a, you know, especially if it's a negligent homicide or a negligent discharge or an accidental shooting, whatever you want to call.
It wouldn't matter because he wasn't in charge of the gun.
Well, no, you're right. You're right. And I'm getting away from that. I'm focusing on Alec Baldwin.
Okay.
The thing is Alec Baldwin, and I'm sorry to say this, he's going to have to live with this for the rest of the time.
Absolutely.
Literally.
I think it's going to kill him.
It is, and it's going to eat him up inside.
Yeah.
You know, if
horrible moment.
If it is truly an accident, and I believe it is. I'm not a conspiracy theorist, anything like
I
that.
I think on his part.
Yeah.
I don't know about the rest of them.
Yeah.
Because I don't know them, but I think on his part, he had no idea what was happening.
I truly believe he had no idea what was loaded in that revolver. He was told that it was a cold gun.
They literally yelled it on set.
Yeah, and handed it to him. And he, you know, and he wasn't even pointing it at the camera. He's pointing it off screen.
Yeah.
So they can get a shot of the camera. She just happened to be there, and he happened to be there. I do feel bad for Alec Baldwin.
I do, too.
I do.
Shitty.
At the end of this, I feel bad for Alec Baldwin. He
lost a role. There's multiple people who have lost roles now. He lost his movie.
He's lost a lot of respect from people.
I don't think that matters. Alec Baldwin lost respect from people a long time ago.
He lost, you know, he lost a lot.
He did. And obviously, his family lost more.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
And I do feel bad for her family.
I think what people want, though, is an answer to what happened. And whenever something happens, and they're like, hey, this is the answer. And people are like, well, no. We have all these connections, and he should have done this. He should have done that. This person seriously was an accident.
Yeah.
I don't think people can accept that answer. I'm glad that Helena's family has accepted it and has sort of moved on. They're still in mourning. But they have accepted Alec Baldwin's apology because he talked to them after it happened.
Yeah.
And they're able to move on. Alec Baldwin is, you know, finally getting grips with what happened. That's all that matters. The people that happened in the situation, they have their closure. They have their answers. That's it.
At the end of the day, we really don't know what happened behind the scenes. We don't know if she was a target. We really don't.
Right.
We don't.
We probably never will.
Because of the high-profile job that her husband had.
Yeah.
Does make it very easy to say, makes you think.
Yeah.
Because many things have happened in these cases. And it's horrible if he was used as a tool.
Yeah.
To fulfill that.
So what it comes down to, for me, the first person that should be charged is the person that handed Alec Baldwin the gun.
Absolutely.
Because
the person that called cold weapon?
Yeah, because he didn't check it properly.
Yeah.
The next person that should be charged is the person that handed that person the gun.
Yeah.
Everybody in succession, from the person that handed Alec Baldwin the gun all the way to the very top of anybody that was involved in that particular instance, should be charged,
but
three people handled the gun.
Right, and I do believe the
thing is, do you blame the prop master? They're in charge of all the props on set. They're not just focused on guns. They're in charge of every single weapon, bottle, hat, shoe. They're in charge of everything on that set that isn't an actor. And then you have the armorer who is only in charge of the weapons.
I think the person who purchased the ammunition willingly and knowingly knew what he was purchasing should be the one charged with her homicide.
And the person
they kind of had to have live ammunition, so Alec Baldwin was comfortable with
that
the gun.
That particular set had already said no live ammunition on set, period.
Yeah.
It was already there. It didn't matter if they should have had it or if they could have had it. It was already laid out that live ammunition was not to be on set, period. And he purchased it because it was cheap and it was refabricated and it was an easy way out for that whole budget.
Yeah.
And look what I did. It should be on him.
Yeah.
But didn't the armor master, that one girl, she spent like an hour and a half one day with Alec Baldwin just firing the revolver with fake and live rounds.
Was
so
not
could,
on set.
Yeah.
No,
it was offset.
Because
yeah,
you have offset and you have offset.
The gun and the ammo gets transferred in the same case. They got to transfer those off and on set. So why was the live ammo not separated with the rest?
That's the biggest question.
Yeah.
That's the biggest problem.
I don't think it matters who bought the ammo. The ammo was bought, whatever. But
this person is very well known for not following precautions and not following the rules when it comes to on-set ammunition.
If they can prove that he is culpable,
and he actually bought it from people that were not like licensed carriers, he was buying the shit from his friend.
Well, I bought ammunition from a friend.
True, but you're not working on a Hollywood set.
You're right. Honestly, okay, so basically what it boils down to, Alec Baldwin, not culpable.
He is literally a pawn right now, just being moved around.
He should be okay.
The main person that should be charged is the person that checked the gun and handed him the gun and said, cold gun.
Yes.
The next person should be anybody that was involved in any live ammunition on set.
Or off. Any transfer of live and blank, whoever was in charge of that, that's their job.
Yeah, the transfer and shipping from on and off set, that's a big issue. But I don't think the purchasing was, they should have gotten the proper ammunition, but it should have stayed off set.
It should have been anywhere near.
Right, but
because there's only two people really in charge. That man was above her. He was the one who made the choices. Now, you think about it this way, okay? She's a female. This is her second movie.
Right.
This man's in charge of her. He is the man. He is the weapons man. Fuck you. Do what I say. This is how it goes.
But the problem that I have with that is, so there was a point of no live ammunition on set. But when you're off set and you're far enough away from the set, which is what she did with Alec Baldwin, which is what the other people were doing.
But they all knew they weren't supposed to be there. Whether they were playing around and practicing outside of that shoot, that ammunition was never supposed to be there.
Right, but the thing is there is a huge difference in the recoil.
Absolutely.
Of live ammo and
prop
ammo.
Yes.
And even blanks.
Yes.
So Alec Baldwin had to get used to the recoil, especially firing
a
45 one-handed.
They were doing safety precautions.
Don't do this.
Don't be swinging around your finger and stuff.
Yeah, and they're teaching him gun safety, even though he's worked on movies with guns before. It's always...
You have to do it.
You still have to do it with everybody.
Well...
You know, I've been through so many gun safety courses in my military
life.
Career.
No, what I'm saying though is...
But, you know, I still have to go through them.
Unfortunately, this will forever change because, low budget or not, we all have computers.
Mm-hmm.
This will forever change how Hollywood handles gun scenes.
Yes.
Forever.
Yeah.
Yes.
And if somebody...
Is,
I will
though,
guarantee now if somebody is caught with live ammunition on a set from here on out...
Blacklisted.
It'll never happen again.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is a loose connection-ish, but gun play, to word it, has definitely changed from back in the 2000s than how it is now. With movies like John Wick and other films like that, you know, Keanu Reeves, he goes and he trains at these different gun ranges and does proper gun things and safety, so it looks real and, you know,
I
cool
trust him
on set.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that sets a standard for everyone else, because before, everyone else is like, okay, you just got to kind of kick it back a little bit and we'll add in effects later. But then you had a movie with Keanu Reeves and he's flying around corners with a pistol and a shotgun and assault rifle, and he's just doing all these different moves with 40 different weapons. And then that kicked off and everybody was like, well, we got to, you know, we got to step up our game and make it look more realistic. And so it's not just this movie that had to do that. It's every movie in Hollywood. So were they, so is everybody in Hollywood now guilty? Because they're for sure firing live rounds on other sets and stuff. And
no, I think
trying to make it look real.
I think up to this moment, you know, we had rules and regulations that were supposed to be followed.
And safety protocols that
safety
were
protocols
followed.
Unfortunately, up to this moment, I will guarantee any movie involved with gunplay and things like that, when this happened, production was stopped. Because Hollywood has a union. When this happened, when there were movies with live ammunition and weapons on board, those people had to step in and say, whoa, stop.
Right. Well, I don't think it's going to change.
I do.
I'll tell you why.
I think it'll change slightly, but I don't think it's going to be...
I don't think it's going to be a drastic change.
I do.
Yes, because so actors like The Rock, there's a few others. I think Tom Cruise said it. He said, no, we're done using live ammunition. We're done using real guns. They're done using real guns. They'll use fake guns. They'll still look real, be able to slide, but they won't have a firing pin. They won't be able to fire blanks. I mean, they'll probably be like a cap gun type of thing, so you know when the gun goes off. But that gun will not be able to, like they did back in the early 2000s, it will not be a single working gun on set anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I believe that too. When we look at actors and their management, those same actors have to carry insurance. Their insurance at this point, as this gets further and further down the line, their insurance is going to say, my actor is not going to be covered for this. Because if something happens and somebody dies, it's not going to be on them.
The thing is I don't think it's going to be that drastic, and I'll tell you why.
I do.
This isn't the first time this has happened.
Oh, I know. We've got The Crow. We
have Bruce Lee.
Yeah, absolutely.
Both died of the same thing.
But we're further into
Brandon,
this new...
Didn't Bruce Lee die of being shot too close with a blank? Because the blanks were packed too hot back in the day, and he was shot, like, too close with a blank.
He was point blank.
Yeah, but it's still gun...
It's still gun-related, yeah.
Randomly was...
Yeah, so we'll have gun accidents, but using a working firearm, like, that
I
you could still carry and stuff...
Stop.
People will stop using those completely.
Because they can't get A-list actors in their movies.
Yeah, I mean, if you have somebody as big as The Rock saying, I'm not using a real gun, and
I don't want to have anything to do with it.
I refuse to work on your movie if you force me to use a live gun. If somebody as big as The Rock is saying that, then everybody else in Hollywood is going to be falling in his footsteps.
Yeah.
I
believe that nobody wants to be Alec Baldwin.
Right. There'll
be actors like Keanu Reeves who knows a gun inside and out. I mean, he's an actor, but
Keanu Reeves is soft.
Yeah.
He's soft-spoken and he's soft. I do believe he will follow suit. He will say safety over anything else. Keanu Reeves, at the very least, I mean, we talk about Rock being a big-name actor, but if Keanu Reeves follows suit, nobody else will use a live gun. Period.
Yeah, if somebody as comfortable with weapons as Keanu Reeves, and he says,
I will agree with you with Keanu Reeves, because Keanu Reeves is such a high profile, he's such a high profile action star, and that started with, you know, The Matrix, and that has continued on with John Wick and you know, with The Matrix and stuff like that. If he says that, then all of Hollywood will change.
Absolutely.
I don't think, and I hate to say this because he is an A-list actor, but I don't think Dwayne Johnson, I don't think Dwayne Johnson has enough pull in Hollywood to be able to say, you know, I'm not doing that movie.
Well,
and they'll be like, okay, we'll find somebody else.
Right.
It's not, we'll conform to you. It'll be, no, we'll find somebody else.
I agree with you there, but I do believe at some point we will see Keanu Reeves come out and say he also will not. Because why would he, one of the top listed actors for action movies, still at his age, put himself in a position to be that man?
Right. And I'm not saying that he won't. You know, I'm saying it will take somebody like Keanu Reeves.
I think we'll see it.
Yeah.
It'll take somebody like Jason Statham.
Either way, I think the use of working firearms is done in the film industry.
I do too.
I hope it is. I don't think they should.
I think it's putting yourself at a risk. And it's like jumping out of an airplane.
Yeah.
Why?
Because if you think about it, shows like Brooklyn Nine-Nine, Law & Order, cop shows. They don't use real guns.
No.
You can tell that they're not real guns because when you have someone like, frail bodied, what's his name? Andy Samberg, and he's able to fire a 9mm gun with zero recoil, it's a fake gun.
Right.
Those TV shows use fake guns, and they pass off, okay, yeah, it's real. This TV show, it's not real.
Because nobody wants to pay attention to that part. They would have saved the part after.
Yeah.
After it's shot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of these close-ups of the slide going back and stuff like that.
You're gonna fall down.
I think those shots will either be all CGI.
Yep.
Or
yeah,
they won't be in there.
Now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they will not be.
Should we got CGI that can literally create humans?
Yeah.
We can create a gun.
Yeah.
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 I mean,
they did it
in Far From Home. Have you seen that side-by-side of Samuel L. Jackson literally sitting in a green chair, green block in his hand, and then when they went back and filmed it, it was just some random, dart gun thing? Like, we can do CGI guns at this point.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm literally playing devil's advocate.
No, I know. I'm just saying.
I don't.
The whole situation is a mess.
I've never agreed with real guns being on set. What's that?
It's just silly. Like, you don't need
it.
It's unnecessary.
Here's the thing, though. If majority of Hollywood doesn't agree with certain gun laws, if you're willing to protest against normal civilians walking around with guns on their hips, then why in the hell would you not have a problem with you using a real gun on set?
Yeah. Yeah, then like using a real gun.
If you're so uncomfortable with guns and they're so bad, why would you use a real one on set?
I agree.
Them using real guns on set is like me grabbing my rifle and walking around pretending to shoot people.
Yeah.
You know, playing fucking, Nerf with my,
difference is they have $200 million to make the movie. That's literally the only difference is they have $200 million worth of makeup on when they're doing it. And
that movie.
It's
squashed at this point because the insurance from that movie will have eaten up anything else.
Yeah, and that's sad because it sounds like a pretty cool product.
They have really good people in it.
Yeah.
I thought this was going to be Alec Baldwin's. I don't think I've seen a single Alec Baldwin movie, but this looked like one of his, this was going to be a serious movie. Like, a comedian or somebody that's not taken very serious and they go and do a serious movie. This was going to be that movie for Alec Baldwin.
This was going to be his retirement movie.
Yeah.
And I don't think he'll do another movie for a while. He'll ever do another movie with a gun.
Yeah.
Speed Winchester was going to be in this movie. That's really sad.
If they continue and if they finish, because principal photography is wrapped. All they have to do is post production on the movie.
Yeah, they just have to do editing. They may finish the movie in honor of her, put a little thing, Then again, they might not finish the movie.
Yeah.
And I think this movie, if it does come out, it'll be a huge gun safety, advocation movie. Like, they'll have a huge thing in the beginning, the importance of gun safety, blah, 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 blah. They'll go through the movie, and then if they do release it, it'll be, it won't be for money or for awards. It'll literally be for, hey, don't do
in memory of,
like
of her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If they
yeah.
do, it'll be up to her family, I guess, to see if they want to
yeah.
finish the movie.
Yeah.
But I would want them to finish the movie because she put in all that hard work and they were done.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
to not
like
finish
is...
the movie would be, in my opinion, would be a little bit disrespectful to her.
Yeah.
But that's just me. Their family can do what they want. I respect their decision either way.
Yeah. I mean, and they can literally take all the proceeds and, you know.
Put it wherever they want. I don't care.
Yeah. Maybe not go to the family.
Yeah.
I don't
but,
even think this
know,
is going to be a high profitable movie. It had a $5 million budget.
Yeah.
They weren't,
yeah.
I don't think they were planning to profit off this movie. This was literally just supposed to be Alec Baldwin's last hoorah. I was like,
yeah,
yeah. I'm going serious now. And, you know, sad it had this happened.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway.
So sorry for Alec Baldwin and Helena's family.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. So, the next big topic that we wanted to cover tonight is might be a little controversial. Not as much as the one that we just had. Not getting it out. Talking about movie critics.
On that note, I'm going to step away for a minute. To go check on things. I did want to make it for Alec Baldwin, though. That was my goal. So
that was that was really good discussion.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
But thank you guys for letting me join in for a little bit.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Anytime.
Okay, so movie critics.
This topic.
Huh.
This got me into a very heated discussion with one of my buddies. Either way, point of view, both of us weren't really caring too much either way. But movie reviewers, and the ones that are not like us, the ones that are paid, like the Rotten Tomatoes.
Like actual movie critics.
The ones that get to watch the movie early and judge off of that. I cannot stand those people at all. I have no respect for them. This might be digging my own grave, but I have zero respect for them. They are not worth the time of day to listen to the reviews. They make me so angry sometimes of how bad their reviews are. Some of them are justified, but yeah.
So, I actually agree with you. I can't stand movie critics.
Their job is basically pointless.
Yeah, paid critics. So, okay, about 20, 30 years ago when we had Siskel and Ebert, who were the two most famous movie critics out there, and... you know, they had their own TV show, and they would show, like, trailers of the movie, and then they would tell their, you know, why they liked it, why they didn't like it, give a thumbs up, thumbs down. And they were really, really harsh on movies.
Yeah.
The problem that I have is that everybody, no matter if you're a paid critic, no matter if you're an amateur critic, no matter if you're just a movie reviewer, because I wouldn't classify us as critics. I would call us reviewers. Everybody is going to be biased.
Yeah,
and
they're going to have their
like
opinion.
And what movies you don't. Yeah.
Yeah, my problem comes in... I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, you're fine.
So this is where I kind of stem this topic from. Because me and my buddy were talking, and he was like, yeah, I don't feel like watching journals. I was like, what? Why not? He goes, just look at the reviews. The reviews are terrible. I was like, you nincompoop. The reviews are terrible for no reason. I went and actually watched the movie. It was phenomenal. And I'm really harsh on Marvel. You know this. I'm super harsh on Marvel.
Yeah.
They have a high standard that for me. That movie was freaking fantastic. I loved it. Reviews come in, and it kind of bombs. And then he tells me, well, just look at the reviews. The reviews are terrible. I was like, oh, my God. Are you serious? Like, Eternals is a good movie. It got like 7.8 on IMDb, and it got 62% score on Rotten Tomatoes. Critics score. And I was like, dude, you're missing out. And he goes, well, there's another friend of mine that said it sucked. I was like, yeah, who? And he told me, this friend, I was like, okay, well, they know jack shit about movies. They just sat through a movie that they didn't care about is all. The movie is good. It doesn't feel that long. This is not a review for Eternals. So, anyway, my point is, form your own opinion, people. Yes, you can look at different reviews to kind of gauge where the people are thinking. Like, I look at the audience score for Rotten Tomatoes, and I read the reviews, and I don't take them to heart, like, if it has a whatever, but if I want to go watch the movie and form my own opinion, I will. So, I want people to form their own opinion instead of looking at what Joe Schmo that got paid, you know, $5,000 to say that the movie sucks or to say that the movie was good. Do not listen to those people. I'm telling you, people, do not listen to them. They don't know what they're talking about. They get paid to hit enter on their keyboard. Like, they get paid for that. And it's not right because they're not formulating their own opinion. And when people base their opinions off of an opinion that's half-baked and nobody cares about, that's when you get bombs like Batman versus Superman. Justice League kind of deserved it. Wonder Woman, the first movie. Still haven't seen it, but I heard it wasn't... It's not the best movie. It's one of those in-between movies where people like it, people don't. But it, like, bombed. Or no, it didn't bomb. It got a high score, I believe. But when people can't formulate their own opinions, and they're like, well, just look at the reviews. The reviews mean nothing. Literally nothing.
So the problem I have with the reviews is the same problem I have with the Oscars. Number one, we all know it's politically based.
Yeah, I got to tip my hat to Drake, the artist. He withdrew from the Grammys this year. He wasn't doing it. He goes, I'm done. He withdrew from the Grammys because he knew he was going to win. There was artists that worked so hard this year that weren't, you know, top tier.
Yeah.
And he was like, no, I'm not doing it. And so he withdrew. So good for Drake.
Yeah.
Award shows like the Oscars, the Emmys, the Golden Globes, they mean nothing. They literally mean nothing.
They used to.
Yeah, they did back when people could actually, like, act and formulate their own opinions. But now it's like there'd be a movie, and so don't take this the wrong way. Please don't, because this actor totally deserved their award. The Heath Ledger Joker, did he win off of performance, or did people feel bad that he had passed away earlier that year? And there was just, like, he locked in his Oscar win right then and there. Like, as soon as he passed away, he won the Oscars right there. Or do you think the critics were like, I don't know, this guy kind of outperformed Heath Ledger's Joker. I forget who the other nominees were. But were there other nominees that could have won that year if Heath Ledger didn't pass away? He totally deserved it, though. Great performance. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying something significant happened. It was a pity win, basically.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
It was deserved, though. I mean, he obviously deserved it. That's not what I'm saying.
Right.
I don't want to get crucified by people. He said he killed your suit. No, he didn't suck. I'm just saying, was it a pity win, or was it actually because he did good? He did great.
In my opinion, I think he should have. I think he deserves the Oscar because of his performance.
Oh,
his
definitely. He definitely deserves it. But
yeah.
I'm saying, was his death just that final push to give him the Oscar?
It could have been, because there are other movies that he was in that are lesser known that he performed just as well in. If you look at the movie The Order, where he plays a Jesuit priest, he was phenomenal. He was Dark Knight level in that movie. But the main issue with critics is that, and you can't tell me that I'm wrong, is that sometimes studios pay them off to either give a good review about a movie or a bad review about a competing movie. The problem with critics is that they're way too biased against movies that are focused to a certain group of people.
Yeah.
You know, these over, and that's the problem with the Oscars too. These generalized movies that, people will take a date to. These not even rom-coms, but these typical bland, you know.
Yeah, you know, I actually think I could be wrong. I think it was Jennifer Aniston that said superhero movies shouldn't be deserving of Oscars, and she wants the romantic movies and stuff like that to come back into the, you know, the big nominations. Now what do you see all the time? There was, like, what, two Marvel movies that got nominated for Oscars? Two or three of them? Well, four of them now, I think, because Eternals got nominated for an Oscar. Would you look at that? It was a good movie.
Yeah.
Well, it's for special effects, but still.
Well, it probably deserves it.
Yeah,
so,
it's fantastic. The special effects were, at least.
Yeah, I haven't seen it yet, so I can't give my opinion on it, but I have seen the previews. And the previews look fantastic.
What was put out previously, Shang-Chi was pretty good with its special effects, but Black Widow looked like straight dookie.
Yeah.
This kind of blew me away, honestly. You have to watch it. It blew my mind for the special effects. I tip my hat off to them.
As soon as it's available, I'm going to watch it.
Yeah, because you know I'm harsh with that stuff.
Yeah.
So this is very impressive. Very impressive.
So my thing is, if you're wanting an opinion on a movie while it's in the theater, the best way to do it, don't look at critic reviews because they're biased, they're crap, and half the time...
Or they're used to sell the movie because they did it with Avengers Endgame. They did it the whole time with Avengers Endgame. Certified fresh on Rotten Tomatoes. Go see Avengers Endgame in theaters. Blah, 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 blah. They do it with every Marvel movie. They do it with every, like, big movie. They do it with DC movies, even though there hasn't been very many that have been certified fresh on Rotten Tomatoes. But that doesn't matter.
Yeah.
They were paid off to do that.
Basically what it boils down to, people, is if you want to see a movie, go see it. If you're hesitant, if you're on the fence about watching it in theaters or when it comes out, go ahead and wait. Honestly, unless you have some type of subscription service that you can go see it for free or go see it for cheap, or you know you just want to go out on a date night or you just want to go see a movie, basically go see it.
Yeah.
Stop listening to critic reviews. Take people's reviews, like the average moviegoer, take their reviews with a grain of salt. There are really, so I'll be honest. We all know I am a cinephile. I love movies. I'm a big movie person.
Mm-hmm.
But there are really... when it comes to certain types of movies, I have my certain people that I listen to about what's good, what's not, and if I should go watch it. When it comes to like Star Wars and Marvel and DC, especially DC, where I'm not a huge fan, I am a fan, but I'm not as big a fan of the DC movies as I am the Marvel movies. When it comes to those properties, I typically refer to you and to Austin You know, because number one, we have similar tastes.
Yeah.
And number two, I've known you obviously long enough, you and Austin long enough, to know that when you say, "Oh, it was a great movie, but there was these issues," that it's gonna be a great movie.
Yeah.
You know?
Sometimes we have differing opinions after you watch the movie or after I watch the movie, but that's okay. We're allowed to have differing opinions. Generally,
they're on the same, like, level to a point.
Yeah.
Like, you think Batman vs. Superman is a better movie than what I think it is.
Yeah.
But overall, I don't think it's a horrible, crappy movie. You know, just
yeah.
like I think the first Justice, or not Justice League, sorry. Wow, no, not even that one. The first Suicide Squad is better than what you think it is. But on the whole, it's one of the crappier movies.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's that movie could be one of those guilty pleasure movies. You know, it's like Mortal Kombat. Mortal Kombat, in and of itself, the very first one.
I was going to say the remake
yeah.
or the original.
No, the very first one. The very first one, the 90s version with Christopher Lambert, was absolutely god-awful horrible. On
I can make
so
a better movie in my basement.
Levels. But at the same time, I think it's better than what you think it is. It's a guilty pleasure movie for me.
Yeah.
Critics are not – don't listen to critics.
The biggest upset that I have seen with critics versus audience is Star Wars The Last Jedi. Critics-wise, The Last Jedi is the best reviewed Star Wars movie. According to critics, it is the best Star Wars movie. According
like
to
overall
audience,
or the sequel?
Overall. It's got like a 95 on Rotten Tomatoes for a critic score.
Oh my god, that's proof right there.
But for audience score, it's the lowest. I'm not even making this up just to bash on Last Jedi. It seriously has like a 35% for Rotten Tomatoes, my source. It's got below a 40% for audience score. And for the critic score, it's got higher than a 90. I'm not even kidding. It might be updated now, but...
I'm just going to look it up to verify
yeah.
for the audience.
It is just outrageous how terrible these critics get paid off. And I hate to bash Disney, but I think Disney is the biggest company that pays off critics.
91% on the tomato meter, 42% audience score.
See? I was damn near close. It's terrible. But they still put it over 90. These are the people that are reviewing your movies. These are the same people that watched Endgame. I'm not saying Endgame was a bad movie. This is the same people that watched Endgame and was like, yeah, this is a great movie. And they went and watched Last Jedi and was like, this is just as good as Endgame. It's like, are you smoking crack? Do you have to be on some type of Hollywood LSD to find that movie enjoyable? Like, what in the hell were they smoking?
Return of the Jedi only got 82% on the critics.
Exactly. And the thing is, Return of the Jedi
came
out...
the best Star Wars movie out there.
It came out before Rotten Tomatoes was even created. So you got all these millennials that went and watched an 80s movie and was like, VFX is bad. Acting was subpar. Camera quality was poor. It's like they didn't even look at the date of the movie that it was released. It's like, it's bad. They probably, you know what? They probably watched the 2011 remaster.
Probably. So Empire got 94. Empire got 94%.
Still outrageous. Last Jedi has over 90. It shouldn't even have over 60.
No. Last Jedi's only got 91. Empire beats Last Jedi.
They have some sense.
A little bit. But you're right. You know, I mean, when it comes to critic review, they have no idea what they're talking about. They're not – so the way to solve this, honestly, is to have critics that are knowledgeable in each of these genres. You know, have sci-fi critics that base these movies on sci-fi movies. You know, have horror critics. Have, you know, rom-com critics. Have action critics. Because you have the same critics that are reviewing these movies, and they're not even taking into account a storyline. If you take Last Jedi and you put it as its own separate movie outside of the sequel trilogy and outside of the Star Wars universe, and you tweak it a little bit and kind of take away the Star Wars name,
it would be it would be a decent sci-fi movie.
It would. But when you add it into the Star Wars franchise, easily becomes the worst Star Wars property out there. Property.
What they should have done? They should have took Star Trek Into Darkness and put Star Wars Into Darkness and released that, and it still would have fit better than Last Jedi did. I'm not even joking. It would have worked way better. Star Wars Into Darkness.
Spot lightsabers, and it would have been better than fucking Last
Jedi.
Yeah,
CGI and some lightsaber blades. I know people can do it. They've done it on, like, Last Samurai, but with lightsabers. Braveheart, but with lightsabers. Star Trek Into Darkness, but with lightsabers, is better than Last Jedi.
But speaking for every Trekkie out there, don't do that. Star Wars and Star Trek crossover is blasphemy. Blasphemy. And I will punch anybody that does it. Blasphemy. I see it all the time on TikTok. There's this one girl that dresses up in a skimpy Star Trek uniform and then pulls a lightsaber out from behind her. You know, that whole I love you to infinity trend that they've got going on.
Mm-hmm.
She does that, and it pisses me off. I swipe up every time. Do not cross those over. Those are enemies. Don't put them in the center. Stop.
It's a big no-no.
It is. You're going to piss off Star Trek fans and Star Wars fans. And those are two fans. Those are two genre of fans that you don't want to piss off. Because normally they're at each other's throats. But when you piss them both off at the same time,
It's like a Cold War. You don't want to, you know, say something wrong or do something stupid, or you're just going to blow some shit up.
Right? Right?
But yeah, reviewers, either do better or quit your job, please. You are terrible at it. I got a question for you. We've reviewed Shang-Chi.
Uh-huh.
Does it deserve to be one of the highest rated films of all time, but the highest rated Marvel film by critics? It's got a 98, or had a 98 at the time of its release. Do you think
No.
it deserves a 98?
No. It was good, don't get me wrong. It is one of the best Marvel properties out there. But there are so many other movies that are way above Shang-Chi that it does not deserve a 98. You've got the Infinity, the two Infinity movies. The Infinity Saga and Endgame.
Infinity War?
Infinity War, yeah. Sorry. Wow, brain fried.
Okay, so I had that mixed up. My bad. It's got a 91 critic and 98 audience.
I don't. I can see the audience score. I really can.
I think the audience score was. I'm not trying to back up or backtrack on what I've said. I genuinely think the audience score was a bit inflated because it's the first Asian superhero movie, and it crushed it. I'm not saying it's a bad movie, but it's a little bit inflated with that.
I don't know that it deserves a 98 even for audience because it was
fantastic
great.
Fantastic movie, though.
Yeah, it is.
Definitely
it
deserves
is.
To be in the 90s.
Yeah, 94-95 I would give it.
Yeah, I think the critic score was fair for that, but it's still useless because there were people that thought it was better. Like, people that genuinely thought it was better than what you typed out on your laptop at home. Like, it just is weird. And then you have, so Rotten Tomatoes isn't, I don't think Rotten Tomatoes is the only company that is guilty of this. We use IMDb, of course, for casting and stuff, but I don't think IMDb's ratings are also inflated and wrong most of the time. And I know that's a shocker to hear, but I like IMDb for seeing cast and crew and what they're related to, but when it comes to their rating, I don't trust it. I can't.
My thing is even as a young kid, I never went off of critics' reviews because I learned early on that Siskel and Ebert were idiots. They were plain idiots because they would totally bash movies that I loved, and they would say that, oh, this was bad about it, this was bad about it, this was bad about it.
God damn it.
And those were like the best parts of the movie. Those were the redeeming qualities. That's what made the movie the movie.
Yeah.
You know? And
no, this is gonna sound awfully silly. Sorry to cut you off. You know where I get my trusted reviews from?
Is where's that?
Action figure accounts on Instagram.
I can see that.
They're unbiased. They care a lot because they're obviously going to buy the collectibles and toys from that movie. And so for somebody to say, hey, this movie was good. In fact, it was so good, I went out and bought its toys. That to me is like, okay, cool. But when they post something like, this movie, I don't know, it's not too great. I think I'll pass on these figures. I'm like, okay, but there we go. That's reassuring to hear. Is it trusted? No, but that's what I use, and so far they haven't let me down, you know.
Yeah. My thing is so I've been in the movie game for a while, not the reviewer game, but the movie game. I've been in, you know, a lover of movies for quite a long time. My thing is I trust my own instinct and my own gut. 90% of the time, I've been wrong. I was wrong about Shang-Chi.
I was wrong about a lot of movies, but I will die on the hill of some movies that I think are great and some movies that I think are poopy. I've done it on the show many times with many DC properties. Still planning out my next phase for that, but that's okay. I will win the war. But you just got to trust what you know and what you like, you know?
Yeah.
I'm not a big – I love movies. I watch movies. But I'm not a – let's just say there's not a reason why I'm not on the Sunday show all the time. Does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah, because there are certain movies that you just don't care to watch.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you know,
I
think my opinion would be invalid on those because I like the lore behind movies. Like, I like watching a movie, finding out the lore – like Lord of the Rings, Harry Potter, DC, Marvel, Star Wars. I like – watching those movies and then diving into the lore of those and then talking about that on our show. So when you see me on the Sunday show, that means the movie is going to be shit and I have a very hot opinion about it. Or the movie was amazing and I also have a really hot opinion about it. So
basically, if he's on Sunday, he's got a hot opinion about something.
It's going to be a hot take one way or the other. You gotta throw one in there somehow.
Oh yeah.
Like tonight, I've probably said many hot takes tonight. Those are my takes. Take it or leave it.
So that's honestly what's so good about all the shows on Wiki Curiosity, but especially the behind the screen shows. You know, nowhere have we ever claimed to be experts. Nowhere have we ever claimed to be, you know, professional critics or anything like that. We are
no,
literally...
My opinion is right 100% of the time, and that's it.
Unless it contradicts my opinion, and then it's wrong, because my opinion is right 100% of the time.
Well.
Now, whether I change my opinion or not, it's still right 100% of the time.
Yeah. We're right 100% of the time, whether we change it or not.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we've all changed our opinion on things when we are faced with new evidence or new movies to back it up. Like, Batman vs. Superman as a standalone movie is shit. With Zack Snyder's Justice League backing it up, it's great.
Yeah. It's like if you just sit down and watch one Star Wars movie, it's going to be like, okay, but where's the rest of it? If you sit down and watch Batman vs. Superman alone, and you're like, okay, where's the rest of it? Obviously, the Star Wars films were better made and stuff. But when you watch it in conjunction with both franchises, it's like, okay, wow, I get it. Good stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. And that can be the same of any franchise out there, the Alien franchise, Predator franchise. Speaking of which, not to go off track, but to go off track, did you know they're coming out with a new Predator movie?
Yeah, we talked about it before... Thanksgiving.
We did, didn't we? Prey?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Predator is one of my favorite franchises. The Alien Predator universe is one of my favorite franchises. Movie franchises.
Yeah. It's definitely up there for me, but not my favorite.
I just love the Predator. I think it's a badass species.
Yeah.
I don't even remember where I was going with what I was saying.
I don't know.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, when you guys listen to us, you know, all three of you throughout the course of, you know, the month, take what we say with a grain of salt. And I say that honestly.
Besides what we said in this show, because what we said in this show had to be said.
Yeah.
I think there's people out there that would agree with us. Majority of people out there. Clearly a majority of people disagree with reviewers.
Obviously.
But yeah.
You know, when we review movies on, you know, movie of the week on Sundays, like I said, we review. We don't critique. We're not critics. We're not professional critics by any means.
We just say what our experience was with the movie.
Yeah, our experience, our, you know, past knowledge and you know, what we felt during the movie. It's literally our take on the movie. When we talk about the topics here on the Cinephiles, it's the same thing. You know, this is literally our opinion. You can agree with it. You can disagree with it. We're okay with that. As a matter of fact, we invite you to join us. You know, give us your opinion on it.
Yeah, there's been a few times people have come on, voiced their opinion, talked about it. We're like, okay, fair enough. Nice job.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah.
You know, it's the problem is if we agree on everything all the time, it's boring.
Yeah.
When we disagree is when things get fun, especially on the Sunday show.
Yeah.
Because the there are times when it's been heated.
Yeah, a little bit. That's the fun of it.
Yeah. Yeah. But that's, you know, that's the fun of it, like you said.
Yeah. Before we close out, it's been two shows since we were last on air. And there was a holiday in there. Would you like to tell people how your Thanksgiving went since they haven't been here? We didn't get to talk about it.
This is true.
I don't know about you, but my Thanksgiving was rather eventful.
And so was ours, to be honest.
Yeah.
I'm sure you heard about it.
I heard it was... a lot of laughter.
Yeah. Yeah. So we're all sitting there and, you know, we're all eating and just kind of, you know, talking back and forth. And Austin, being Austin, messing with Sophia, you know, so we had a plastic cup with a bunch of the plastic serving utensils and stuff, because we don't use fancy stuff on big dinners because it's a lot of dishes. We just throw everything away.
Yeah.
So what he did is just kind of knocked it over onto her, you know, where she was sitting. For some reason, I don't know, I don't remember what happened before, but for some reason, that just got everybody dying. Like, even the godfather was, because he was trying not to, but he was cracking up. The uncle was cracking up. Danielle was cracking up. Austin was laughing so hard, he had to leave the table. He was on the floor in the kitchen. There's pictures on our personal Facebook, if you know our personal Facebook. But he was laughing so hard. So he finally gets to the table, and we're kind of still laughing and, you know, kind of starting to settle down. The godfather had to actually get up from the table. He was laughing so hard. And in the midst of being distracted, Sophia leans over, who is our 10-year-old little sweet girl, leans over to Miss Angel and, you know, politely asks her if she could say a bad word. Miss Angel, laughing her ass off, not paying attention, was like, sure, fine, whatever. She reaches across the table, the entire length of the table, smacks, not smacks, yeets the plastic silverware all over Austin's plate, all onto the kitchen floor, at the same time yelling, fucking karma. Like, she yelled fucking karma, smacked the utensils. It went all over Austin's plate, all over the floor, everywhere. And we all just, I almost fell out of my seat. Miss Angel and Danielle almost pissed themselves. The uncle is crying. Austin, after he got over the initial shock, is just falling out of his chair laughing. I'm laughing so hard I'm crying and my back is hurting. Now, you know that laughter that you get that just tightens every muscle in your back? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so that was... Oh, and Miss Angel forgot the... You know, before all this, she forgot the deviled eggs and she forgot the stuffing. So she had to quickly do all that, and that kind of led up to us laughing and then, you know, all the playfulness that went on. So that was our Thanksgiving. But overall, it was a great dinner. You know, great times.
Sounds good.
So tell us about yours.
So we had many people out for Thanksgiving this year. We had a small Thanksgiving. It was me, my mom, and grandma and grandpa. That was it. Literally it for dinner. And beforehand, my mom is in the kitchen. She's cooking all day. Bless her heart.
And it's all something different.
I hope she doesn't hear this, but she's... You guys are a bit older. So we have a turkey roaster, right? You know, it's like a, you know, a turkey roaster is, right? It's big,
yeah.
Big, yeah. And it's
hot. Big roaster.
And we were expecting little ones over. And she says, well, I don't want them to get burnt. So you have to understand the layout of our house. We have our kitchen, and then right next to our kitchen is our bathroom and laundry room. My mother thought it was a good idea to put the turkey roaster filled with turkey grease, fat, and juice. Not the turkey. Turkey was safe. She puts that in our laundry room on top of our washer that has a glass lid. And, you know, I had a freshly folded and nice load of laundry done. And our cat's stuff is in the laundry room. One of our cats has the bright idea to go inside the laundry room and knock over the turkey roaster. Gets turkey juice everywhere. The roaster is on the floor. It's not broken somehow. It's on the floor. The pan that everything was sitting in is somehow across the gate that's about 3 feet high. So it bounced a good ways. And we hear it because me and my mom both look at each other and we're like, does something smell hot? And we're like, yeah. And then we hear a, and my mom was like, oh, shit. I didn't know that she had put it in there. She turns the corner so hard and hits the thing, she threw out her shoulder. And I'm just standing there in the bathroom with her, and there's turkey stuff everywhere. I'm trying not to laugh because I thought it was funny as shit. She's so pissed off and hot that she's red. And I said, you need to calm down, get out. And I just took paper. I cleaned up the mess and stuff. And then I look over at my laundry basket. I'm like, that better not have went in there. Luckily, it didn't. And some of it splashed up, and I had to rewash the whole load of laundry. But the cat is okay. He didn't get – that was one of our main concerns, that he either – it fell on him, fell on our other cat, who is 400,000 pounds and doesn't move very quick. So we thought one of them got hurt. They both cats are fine. And yeah, that was a big thing that happened to us.
It's a good thing the glass lid didn't break.
Well, you see, it didn't break because it was glass and it was slick, and the cat just literally had to go.
Oh Jesus!
So after we figured out the cat was okay, I started laughing. It was funny. I said, "Mom, you can be mad all you want. That was funny as shit. that was so funny. Oh, man. That was one of my more favorite Thanksgiving memories that I've had. It was just amazing.
Oh.
And dinner turned out okay. So.
Yeah, our dinner turned out good.
Yeah.
You know, we had one of our cats tried to eat the fucking ham before we got a chance to cook it, because we had it out thawing, and, you know, we had it out during the day, and we heard some rustling, and, because, you know, it's plastic, and then in a paper bag, or in a plastic bag, and we heard some rustling and shit like that, and I don't remember who it was. I think it was one of the kids, or it might have even been Miss Angel, walked in and saw one of the cats trying to gnaw on the fucking ham.
Yeah, clearly we don't feed our cats enough because they're willing to destroy two very expensive machines in our house just for some damn turkey juice.
Oh, our cats are assholes. They will literally dig through the garbage. Like, we have, like, for Thanksgiving, we had a bag of garbage on the ground so that we could put, you know, one of the bigger black bags so we could just put garbage in it.
Yeah.
They were getting the empty bags of, like, the little empty bags, the little bags of chips that you get in the boxes.
Yeah.
They were getting those out of the trash bag to try and get at the chips in the bag.
Yeah.
Like,
the
our
funniest
cats
part
are
is,
truly assholes.
The funniest part is our cats aren't assholes until it comes to food. They'll do anything for food. They're quite funny creatures.
One of our cats knocked over my pyramid today.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my pyramid that has the candles that spins when you light the candles?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I had that on a stand over by the window, and they jumped up to try and play with it and latched onto the little fabric that it sits on and knocked the whole thing over.
I know we're running slim on time, I think, but this story is just too funny. One time we had chicken bacon in the oven, and my mom took it out, put it on the stove. Stove was hot. Like, it had the light on. It was hot because she just got done cooking. And we come back because it was in cream of chicken, and it was, you know, chicken and cream of chicken soup stuff.
Yeah.
We come back, and I see a nice little orange streak. And the chicken. I'm like, did you put cheese in this? She goes, no. I said, that's cat vomit.
Oh.
She goes, no. She said, no, it's not. I said, yeah, that's cat vomit. And she goes, check his paws, because he had to have stood on that stove in order to get that. But the thing is, he didn't eat any of it. He just got up there on the hot stove and vomited in the chicken pan. We're like, what the hell? Why would you do that for?
I would not have eaten any of that.
No, we threw it out.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was, she was not happy. She really wasn't happy then. I was like, what are you going to do? I took a picture of it.
Oh.
I think I probably still have it. I might find it, try to find it and send it to you because it's funny.
Oh, that's, I would put a cat in the next week.
I said, did you put cheese in this? And she goes, no. I said, well, that looks like cat vomit.
God damn. Oh. This is why I hate cats.
Yeah, my mom said no more cats. She said, no more cats. We'll do dogs. We're not doing cats. I said, fair enough.
Kids move out. They can take the cats. I'm done.
Yeah. I'm not a big cat guy. I think these two guys are my last ones, and I'm finished for cats.
Yeah, I'm done with cats. I have my one that, you know, jumps up on me at night to say goodnight, and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right, we are down to the last 3 minutes. I want to thank Miss Angel, who's not here anymore, for joining us. As always, I want to thank Alex for joining me tonight.
Of course.
Great show. Had a lot of fun.
That was a great discussion.
Yeah, it was. One of our most intellectual discussions that we've had.
Yeah, and we all came to a conclusion that rarely happens.
Yeah, we all kind of sort of agreed, which is weird, especially on the cinephiles.
Yeah.
But anyway, we're going to keep this short and sweet. Thank you for all of our supporters, listeners, and followers. We appreciate all of you. Please remember, support the veterans, fire, police, and EMS. They're out there every day putting their lives on the line for you. Please remember, please, as always, stay safe, stay smart. We want you back here every night that we broadcast on Wiki Curiosity Media, every Sunday night for Movie of the Week, every Tuesday night for Falling from Grace, every Wednesday night for the Cinephiles, and every Friday night for Quick reminder, next week, ladies and gentlemen, will be the last week for all of the shows on Wiki Curiosity Media until after the new year. As of Saturday next week, we will be on a three-week hiatus from the 18th through the 8th. And then after that, we are actually switching platforms. So stay tuned to the pages to find out more. We'll let you know. But next week are the last week for the shows for this year.
Yep.
So they're going to be great. They really are. So, all right. Love you guys. Hope you all have a great night. Have a fantastic rest of your Monday night. Have a fantastic week. We'll see you back here next time.
Good night, everybody.
If I can find something to take you out. And there you go. Good night.
Drifted down, it's just you and me. You cut me off and say you're tired of talking. Not as if we can't agree, but you've lost your will to fight. You're packing up all your things to leave, and these will be our last words. Then the chance will be lost, and I ain't too proud. If you love me,